Episode 2.
I hate benefiting from a tragedy, but the discovery of Martin Earnshaw's arms and a distinct absence of Earnshaw turned my one night on citizen's arrest into the TV gig that kept on giving.
Mr. Paris. Yeah, here we go. One double room with sea view.
A missing persons case was now a murder inquiry, so the infotainment crime show had rebooked me to impersonate the deceased property developer.
Room 302. Would you like a paper in the morning?
On the upside, I was getting an all-expenses-paid weekend in Brighton.
If my wife tries to get hold of me and my phone's off, could you take a message? It's our 35th anniversary, so I don't want to mess up.
35 years! That's quite an achievement.
It would have been if we'd actually managed to live under the same roof all that time. A recent spat forced me to spend a few nights in my agent's anally minimal Pieda showbiz, so before I left London, I deployed some weapons-grade schmoozing on Francis.
Every day I get in the queue, ooh, the magic bus, get on the bus, it takes me...
Of course she made me grovel, but caved in when I offered her a free weekend in Brighton to celebrate 3.5 decades of divorce avoidance.
Oh.
Is that cadavers or us? I'm looking for a corpse alike.
Hang on a minute, I think I've just split my sides.
Is there a BAFTA category for best impersonator of a dismembered businessman?
You're very chipper today.
Oh, that's what happens when I wake up and you're not in my flat. Beats antidepressants any day.
Glad to be of assistance. Is that the only reason you phoned?
I thought you'd like to know. I've got your fee up.
Really? How'd you manage that?
Death cells. Playing a missing person, you were below the title. Now Earnshaw's a goner, you're the lead. Kerching.
There's a real darkness to you.
Thank you, Charles.
And this raise will cover your 15% plus VAT.
I do my best for you, but I can't work miracles, not with your profile.
A bad workman blames his tools.
Yeah, the tool, in this case, being you.
Ha ha.
If you don't like it, negotiate your own deals.
Where would I be without your fancy letterhead?
I'm not just a logo.
I've always thought of you as a bit of a font.
MSA is built on my reputation, my contacts.
Your postcode and the pretty posh girl on reception.
They all cost money.
You really do live the life of Ryan.
I live a lot better than him when I've worked for it.
You mean I've worked for it?
Oh, this mean-spirited culture of envy is peculiarly British.
There's someone at the door.
Just as well. Before one of us says something, we'll regret.
Je ne regrette sod all.
Oh, sorry if I interrupted.
Just a cosy chat with a bloodletting parasite.
Angie was the harassed production assistant on Citizen's Arrest. She must have done something truly wicked in a previous life to find herself working for Rob Garston, the show's pit bull presenter.
Cool. You could stage the Olympics in here.
Well, it's not that big.
Suppose we've got to look after the star of the show.
Surely Rob's the only star of this show.
Don't let Samantha Noakes hear you say that. But for now, you're at the centre of our big story, and Rob's got high hopes for this as a runner.
I wonder how Chloe feels about turning her husband's death into a soap.
She just wants justice.
Call me a cynic, but so far the aggrieved widow hadn't exactly struck me as publicity averse.
We've set up production office on the first floor. When you've settled in, can you pop down?
After years touring, settling in took all of 3 minutes. Pants in one drawer, T-shirts in another, second-best jeans in the heated trouser press. Well, Francis was coming. I had to make an effort.
Do I have to do everything around here? It was a simple enough request, but you seem incapable of carrying out.
Hi again.
Oh, that was quick.
Angie!
Oh, God. Coming. Take a seat, Charles.
Yep.
An email was open on Angie's laptop. It was from Ed Faraday, an ex-cop with bleached teeth and a tan unknown in the natural world. Garston had hired Ed to give the police a run for their money and to raise the jeopardy of the show. The email was short as a tweet. The thrust was that Ed was undercover, following promising leads, and that D.I. Samantha Noakes would have to raise a game if she was going to beat him.
Charles, you can go in now if you... Are you reading my emails?
No, I was just looking up restaurants in Brighton.
Well, do you mind asking next time if you want to use my laptop?
Sorry.
Rob's waiting.
Yep.
Angie! Give me a double espresso. And whatever Charles wants.
The same, please.
What about your blood pressure? Look,
save the lecture and get the coffee.
Right.
Had a double bypass last year and I've never felt better. More energy than I've had in years. And the sex life.
That's great.
Unbelievable.
I look forward to my first coronary.
So, this is where we make you work for your extra money.
That's why I'm here.
The audience feedback was very positive after the last show.
You mean leads for the police?
That too, but the viewers responded well to you.
Well, I hardly did a thing.
Whatever you did or didn't do, they loved it. And that was when you were just a missing person. Now you're dead, I'm expecting the figures to go through the roof.
Well, if I'm dead, what do you want me to do?
Don't worry. We're not going to lop your arms off. Actually, we are. No, we're not. Seriously, we're going to reconstruct Earnshaw leaving home that final morning.
So you've cast a Chloe lookalike?
No need. She's playing herself.
But is that usual?
No, that's why it's genius. What a coup. The widow of the murder victim. It's TV dynamite.
Isn't it a bit queasemaking?
You talk like you're in a PG Woodhouse.
I just feel uneasy blurring the line between fact and fiction.
Oh, duh, that's what citizen's arrest is.
It's one thing playing a dead man, but I'm a bit uncomfortable doing it opposite his actual wife.
Well, get used to it, because if the murderer keeps filleting Earnshaw, this case is going to be a runner.
Especially if they find the legs.
Bit tasteless, Charles.
Sorry.
You've overstepped the mark. Ow! Overstepped! You get it?
I wasn't needed till an evening shoot at Earnshaw's house, so it was a toss-up between a healthy walk on the prom or the hotel's rooftop bar.
One double scotch. Shall I put it on your bill?
As the doctor said to the duck.
Sorry?
It's just a room 302.
Hello, gorgeous. What are you wearing?
A frown.
Hello. I've always had a thing about stern schoolmistresses.
Take a shower.
Is that an offer?
It's an order from the head of the year, and she's a strict disciplinarian.
Oh, you really need to get down here. Where are you?
At Juliet's.
What the hell are you doing there?
Emergency childcare.
Where's Super Dad?
Miles had a meeting in town about his book.
His what?
Since his downshift, he's been writing a book.
A novel?
Non-fiction, I think.
I thought you'd be on the train by now. I've been checking out restaurants and everything. I've even brought my Terry Thomas silk dressing gown.
It's polyester.
I can still seduce in man-made fabrics.
Just watch out for static and don't smoke unless you want to go up like an old coward on bonfire night.
So when will you get here?
I'll try to make it by lunchtime tomorrow. Anyway, you're supposed to be working.
Don't remind me. Tonight I've got to play a dead man opposite his real-life widow.
Her photos and all the red tops.
Yeah, there's nothing journos like more than a murder case attached to a hot-looking woman.
Must be hell for you.
Chloe's mourning and not my type.
She's got a pulse and a backbone.
There's only one woman for me.
You must introduce us.
You are the sunshine of my life.
That's why you never stuck around.
I'll make amends when you get down here.
In the meantime, try not to empty the minibar.
Who needs a minibar when there's a maxi bar? Stick another double in there when you've got a minute.
I'll get that, and a pint of lager for me.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
D.S. Marchmont and I took our drinks out onto the terrace. We'd first met in the citizen's arrest green room, and there was a shabbiness about him which said damaged goods. Well, takes one to know one.
I've often thought I could live in Brighton. Apart from the seagulls, I reckon they'd drive me around the bend squawking from dawn till dusk.
Herring gulls.
Sorry?
These ones are herring gulls.
Are they?
Hmm. You see the yellow bill with the red dot?
Yeah.
And that... Yeah, that's a herring gull, that is.
Now I know.
So, this is what my officers get up to on the back's turned.
Marchmont tried to make himself invisible as Superintendent Sawsby's bulk hove into view.
Just yanking your chain, Greg. Stay where you are, don't get up.
No, actually, I've got a... I'm supposed to be checking in with... See you, Charles.
Don't mind if I join you?
The plastic chair was already buckling under his considerable weight before I could say whether I minded or not.
He's all right, that one.
Is he?
Yeah, come up the hard way. Unlike some, a lot of the young ones come in as graduates. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for education, but a 2-1 in social studies does not a good copper make. Cheers.
Cheers.
Because I'm old school, practically a dinosaur, which is why I'm not on the telly. No.
Sawsby was alluding to the show's co-presenter, D.I. Samantha Noakes. The camera loved her. To love Sawsby, the camera would have to be desperate, drunk, and spiked with Rohypnol.
The most important thing is getting the right result. I can't say anything at this stage, but we'll get him.
You know it's a him.
Oh, I'd put money on it, and that's without psychological profiling. He's pitting himself against the police. Odds on, there'll be another discovery any day now.
More body parts.
What we've got here is an exhibitionist loving the publicity. And determined to eke it out as long as possible.
Funnily enough, that's what Garston's hoping.
Well, of course. They're both showmen. They're after the same thing in their own peculiar ways.
Citizen's arrest and the murderer were locked in a symbiotic relationship, each reliant on more gruesome discoveries for publicity. And I was in the middle, playing a dead man opposite his actual wife.
Oh, hello. I was hoping we wouldn't meet again.
Yeah.
Sorry, that came out wrong.
No, I know what you mean. Listen, this will sound pretty inept, but I'm really sorry about...
Thanks, Charles. Better not let my makeup run before our big scene together. You're a pro, but I've got to get it right. For Martin.
A perfect tear welled in the corner of a perfect eye. Almost too perfect. But tragedy is indiscriminate, and it wasn't Chloe's fault she was photogenic.
Can I ask? Do you think this dress is too, you know, revealing?
Well...
I mean, it's the one I was wearing that day. Do you think it might be distracting?
Chloe's newfound fans would be more than happy to be distracted, and she knew the effect that clingy fabric would have to the nearest millimetre.
If that's the dress you wore, you'd better stick with it. Have they told you what they want us to do?
Only that I'm to say goodbye to you just like I did to Marty. I walked him out to the porch, he said he'd see me later, then he gave me a kiss and left.
Right. Kiss Chloe Earnshaw on primetime TV. I could already hear Morris trying to get the fee up again.
I think you're bearing up amazingly well.
Well, I've got to stay strong for the charity work and everything.
Charity work?
I've set up the Martin Earnshaw support group for the partners of murder victims. Well, I can't say I'm comfortable with all the media attention, but... Well, when life deals you a blow, you either cave in or turn it into something positive.
Yeah, well, that's very admirable.
Oh, I don't know. But you've got to find an inner strength. Oh, hello, you two. I think we're just about ready for you.
Chloe was certainly turning a tragedy into a positive, and a whole new career was opening up for her.
And cut. Yep. Thank you very much, everyone. That's a wrap for tonight.
With my romantic dinner with Francis on hold, I went in search of a fine dining experience.
Do you want a sachet of mustard with your mutton cobbler?
Push the boat out. Make it two.
It's quiz night tonight, if you fancy it.
Okay. I didn't, and was just tucking in when Greg Marchmont appeared at my side.
Hello again.
Mm.
Do you mind if I...
No. Take a bonkette.
Thanks.
Not with your boss tonight.
No, he's in a Masonic lodge.
Oh. I haven't got the legs to be a Freemason.
How do you mean?
Never mind. Mm. So, Sawsby's pretty confident you're going to catch Earnshaw's murderer.
We will. Not that it'll have anything to do with him.
Of course, Ed Faraday might get there first.
Ed Faraday is a joke.
Why did he leave the force?
Let's say there were rumours.
There are always rumours. You should hang around a theatre sometime.
Ed would fit in nicely. Right little actor he is. That's why he loves all that deep cover stuff. Give him a character and a costume, he's like a pig in muck.
So you think the gamekeeper turned poacher?
As it happens, I don't, but others did.
Sawsby?
I never liked Faraday. He's a cocky, two-timing little git, but that doesn't make him a bent copper.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Bunch of Grapes quiz evening.
Oh, God.
Should we get out of here?
Yeah.
Right, if you
want to
put your tea...
Back at the hotel, we set to on my minibar. I said it takes one to know one.
There's only vodka left. And Maltesers.
And vodka Maltesers it is.
All right.
The thing about Ed Faraday is a sociable type. He likes to party.
Well, that's no crime.
Mm. It depends on who you're partying with. He was mixing with some real rogues. Anyway, someone snitched and there was enough dirt stuck to him to make his job untenable.
Did Sawsby fire him?
With relish on the side. But Ed got the last laugh, gets himself on the telly, now he's crying all the way at the bank.
I get the feeling you're not Sawsby's biggest fan.
Who let Sherlock in?
Maybe you should jump ship like Ed.
No, I'm not cut out for the private sector.
You haven't got the killer instinct.
No, I'm stuck with Sawsby, even if it is like sucking lemon juice off a nettle. Yeah. With my child maintenance, I have to grin and bear it.
You've got kids?
A lot. Wife, kids, plasma telly, surround sound. And I blew it all for a roll in the hay with a colleague.
Please don't tell me it was Sawsby.
That's not even funny. No, Miss Samantha Noakes.
Oh. The 50% of the citizens' arrest audience not fantasizing about Chloe Earnshaw were having impure thoughts about Rob Garston's co-host.
Like a mug, I walked out on my family and surprise, surprise, Sam goes and dumps me for someone else. Or just another notch on the bedpost.
This guy definitely wasn't cut out for a life of debauchery.
And that's when everything fell apart. My entire life went belly up. Overnight, I'm living in a one-bed flat, drinking too much, eating crap food.
So far, it was all sounding horribly familiar.
And then it started affecting my work. I got sloppy and negligent till I got formal discipline. I'm damn lucky they didn't boot me out. And now I'm hemorrhaging money, and Salisbury's really got me right where he wants me. But I tell you, one way or another, I'll make it up to her.
Noakes.
Oh, my wife.
Oh.
Any more vodka?
The mini bar's bare.
Bloody Ed. Bloody Faraday.
What's he got to do with him?
He's the one Sam dumped me for.
Oh.
Come on, let's go back to mine. I've got some whiskey there.
Right. Paralyzed! I can't move.
Charles?
I just answered the phone with my nose.
Is this the long-awaited stroke?
Oh, I fell asleep on my arms, and now I'm helpless on the floor.
Was Gregor Samsa on the sauce last night?
Never drink with a policeman spurned in love.
In the unlikely event, I'll bear it in mind. Shouldn't you be impersonating an armless corpse, or is this you getting into character?
Tasteless.
From a man wearing last night's pants and vest?
Have you got some new voyeuristic app on your phone?
I don't need Skype to picture the scene. I had you dozing in my spare room.
Aha! Aha! Pins and needles.
Can we talk? Only I've had an availability check.
For me?
That's what I said.
What?
Well, maybe your profile's on the up. It's just an in principle at the moment.
In principle's good. When is it?
In a few weeks. It's a Radio 4 Book of the Week.
Great.
So I'll say yes.
Of course.
You don't want me to find out what it is first?
Well, I assume it's not 120 Days of Sodom.
Not before woman's hour.
Then say yes.
Jolly good. Another satisfied customer.
Yeah, don't let it go to your head.
Why don't you go and line your stomach with a nice, hot, greasy breakfast?
Oh, God.
But my constitution's tougher than Morris could ever know. And the catering truck's bacon butty set me up for another scene with Chloe Earnshaw. This time, we were leaving an upmarket restaurant a few days before her husband's disappearance.
And cut. Thanks, all. That's a wrap.
Bloody hell, this is a bear pit.
Oh, I've got to get out of here.
Keep back, please.
This way, Mrs. Earnshaw, into the car.
What about me?
But Chloe was spirited away and the crowd dispersed. Profile. I should have known better than to believe Morris. However, I did have just enough local cachet to get the hotel receptionist to book me a table at a restaurant rated by Giles Corran.
35 years.
The past 24 hours have seemed like 35 years.
Are you going to be using lines like that all night?
Lines are what I'm good at.
Oh, I know. I've had 35 years of great lines. It's the bits in between that have been difficult.
I'm sorry. You look gorgeous.
I look my age.
That'll do for me.
Oh, you're on fire.
Wait till I slip into my Terry Thomas dressing gown.
Just try not to slip a disc.
Ooh, am I likely to?
The evening's young.
Champagne, sir?
Oh, I didn't actually order champagne, but...
It's an anniversary gift, sir.
Oh, how kind.
On the house.
Actually, it's from another couple.
Surprise!
Juliet!
Hello, Mummy. Hi, Dad.
Hiya, Pop.
Miles. Wow, I don't know what to say.
How about cheers?
Mind if we join you?
Oh, don't be silly.
Yeah. Did you know about this, Frances?
No, it's a complete
shock.
Surprise.
Mum told me where you'd be staying, so Miles tipped the receptionist and she told us where you were eating.
Very enterprising.
It's not every day you celebrate 35 years of marriage.
Reformed city trader Miles had reinvented himself as super dad and never missed a chance of telling the world what a reconstructed man he was.
A toast to family life, the only thing that really counts.
Family life. Where's Angela?
Sleepover.
So we're off the leash and ready to party.
Great.
Let's rock.
Charles.
Aha.
We've been watching you on Citizen's Arrest.
Aha. Think I'm in with a chance of a BAFTA.
Shocking case.
Yeah.
Excuse me, this is supposed to be a celebration.
Hear, hear.
Actually, it's a double celebration.
Is it?
You're not pregnant again.
No.
But there is a new baby in the offing.
Not pregnant, but a new baby. Very cryptic. How many letters?
Put him out of its misery.
Well, I can't tell you how many letters, but I can tell you how many words.
Just tell him.
We're expecting a bouncing baby book.
A book?
Miles is now an author?
Really? Congratulations.
Thanks, Pop.
Why didn't you tell me, Francis?
I don't know much about it.
So is this the debut State of the Nation novel?
No, nothing quite that grand, but the publishers are quite...
You've got a publisher?
Yeah.
Haven't you been listening?
You said Miles had written a book. You didn't say it was being published.
Well, it is.
Good, great. So, what's it called?
It's A Dad's Life.
One Man's Journey into Life's Biggest Adventure.
That's the subtitle.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, you know, after what we might call my fall from grace, I was so overwhelmed by the state of fatherhood, I wanted to sort of share it with other men.
And women.
And women.
Pity there wasn't a book like that when you became a father, Charles.
And the funny thing is, he didn't set out to write a bestseller, did you?
God, no. Obviously, I'd hope there'd be a market, but I just wanted to write a book a guy like me wanted to read. I certainly wasn't expecting all this pre-publication hype.
There's hype.
Unbelievable. Apparently, he's touched the zeitgeist.
Don't forget to wash.
Charles! Ah. Miles is going to be on midweek with Libby Purvis and the youngest round-the-world yachtswoman.
We'll have to listen.
But there's something else, isn't there, Miles?
There is, and I'm very much hoping you'll say yes. Go on, Juicy.
To coincide with the book's launch, Radio 4 are doing an abridged serialisation, and Miles has put in a special request for you to do the reading.
Isn't that nice, Charles?
You'll do it, won't you, Dad?
Of course he'll do it, won't you, Pop?
Here's a little something from the chef. Now, is everyone ready to order?
Saved by the amuse-bouche, the rest of the meal passed in a haze of highly overpriced alcohol till Francis and I played the age card and staggered back to my hotel room.
It's a dad's life!
One man's journey up his own backside, pompous git!
He's offered you work.
You don't think I'm going to do it?
You've got to.
I'll tell Morris to get me out of it.
Charles, he's married.
Oh, don't lay that easier son-in-law trip on me. I just wanted to write a book a guy like me wanted to read. Yeah. He's going to be unbearable.
Oh, don't let it get to you.
And if he calls me Pop one more time, I need a drink. I wonder if they've restocked the minibar.
Restocked?
It wasn't just me.
Uh-huh.
No, uh-huh. I had a copper up here drowning his sorrows in vodka and Maltesers.
Ooh, you know how to live.
What's it to be? Tiny scotch, tiny gin, tiny brandy?
I didn't come all this way to raid the borrower's fridge, not when I've been promised the Terry Thomas treatment.
Oh, yeah. My polyester silk style dressing gown. Get a load of this.
Oh, I've come over all of a swoon, Mr. Paris.
Yeah. Is it the vapours?
Is that all the menopause?
For the full effect, I could use a curtain tie back and fashion myself a rather fetching cravat.
Forget the cravat and come over here.
Yeah.
Oh.
You will be gentle with me.
Shut up.
Now what? Hang on.
Surprise!
Juliet!
Miles thought it'd be fun to make a weekend of it, so we've booked in.
Here?
Right next door.
The adjoining room.
Love that dresser gown, Bob.
Charles. Yeah.
Isn't that the one you nicked from the National?
I was given it by a dresser who fancied me.
Let's have another bottle of champagne.
Miles ordered up a bottle of Krug and got reception to unlock the thin door between our rooms.
A toast. Keeping it in the family.
Keeping it in the family.
Eventually, we all made our excuses and retired to our own rooms.
Now, the dressing gown.
Actually, I'm not sure.
It's our 35th anniversary.
Yeah, I'm not in the zone.
I'm in the zone.
It's a thin door.
But I can take your mind off the door.
I don't know. Oh.
Still thinking about the door?
What door?
Okay, that's it.
Oh, Charles.
Sorry, Francis, it's not you. I just, you can blame Dr. Freud, but this is messing with my
head. Where are you going?
Anywhere but here.
Clubbers were spilling out onto the pavement, and for some, the late night air was heavy with youthful promise. As I stopped to light up, a familiar figure stumbled out of a pub. Greg Marchmont didn't see me as he pulled his collar up and swung into a back alley. He had the look of a man who didn't want to be seen. So, instinctively, I followed. I must have looked pretty shifty myself, but there was something curious about the way he skulked along. He stopped and I dropped back into a doorway. Staring at a lit window above a junk shop, Greg scribbled a note, then the light went out and he hurried away. I hung back till a street door opened. A shabby character stepped out of the gloom carrying a heavy suitcase. Okay, I was drunk, but something about this tramp-like figure fired my imagination. He seemed to be limping, but was still surprisingly sprightly, and I was just wondering if he knew I was following when...
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, Constable.
Would you mind telling me where you're going?
I'm just getting some air.
Well, I've been watching you, and if you don't mind me saying, you didn't look like you... I know you. You're Martin Earnshaw.
No, I'm the man pretending to be Earnshaw.
Have you got any ID?
No, but let me explain.
Right, I'm going to call this in.
What for?
You've just admitted that you're impersonating a victim in a murder case.
I'm an actor, not an impersonator.
Well, have you had some ID?
I don't have to carry ID.
Calm down, sir.
Despite what you might think, this is not yet a police state.
Right, I'm warning you.
What? Warning me what?
I won't tell you again.
You haven't told me anything yet. Now, unless you're going to arrest me, I'll be on my way.
I had to open my big mouth.
In episode 2 of A Reconstructed Corpse, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Juliet was Tilly Gaunt, Miles, Thomas Arnold, Angie, Alex Rivers, Rob Garston, Adam Billington, Chloe Earnshaw, Francine Chamberlain, Greg Marchmont, Carl Prekop, Superintendent Sorsby, Gerard McDermott, the Police Constable, Christopher Webster, and the Barmaid, Victoria Innes Hardy. A Reconstructed Corpse was written by Jeremy Front and based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Evans.